I just want to share the passage of the prodigal son this morning. It's really what I want to talk about. I know some of you have been here for a while, and maybe you've heard me preach on this before. By the way, I don't have any sermon notes because I'm not really sure about the outline on this. I'm trusting God to share something this morning that's maybe going to be helpful. Yeah, I know, but don't worry. Just listen. You might get one thing out of this morning. So, hey, listen, one word from God is all you need. You know, it doesn't have to be a half an hour. It doesn't have to be an hour long with 800 verses. Just one word from God can change everything. Amen? So let's just listen, and maybe at some point in here, when I'm talking, all of a sudden you go, God, you just said something to me. And it wasn't Pastor Harry. I know that was you. Amen? Hallelujah. I am going to read through the story of the prodigal son and maybe talk about this young man a little bit. And I have another passage. Hopefully my bookmark is still there. Nope, it disappeared, but I'll find it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and verse 10 is pretty good. I was going to start at 11, but 10 says, "Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And he said, this is Jesus speaking, and he said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that falls to me.' And he divided his living between them, and not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took his journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in loose living. And when he had spent everything, a great famine arose in that country, and he began to be in want." Maybe I will just stop and just talk about that. I was going to read the whole thing and just go back. But this is a son who had an inheritance. He knew that he had an inheritance. And rather than wait for it to come at the proper time, I think he was just maybe restless, a little tired of, you know, the work around here and the rules and all that other stuff. I'm not really sure what this young man was thinking. But this whole parable is a parable that speaks of our Heavenly Father and how he deals with and works with his children. And you know, our Heavenly Father, if you're a child of God, if you're one of his, there is an inheritance for you. There's an inheritance that's coming. I know that I have to remind myself quite often. I was just telling somebody yesterday, you know, in heaven, the mansion I've got, I don't have to work on anything. The maintenance is done. In fact, the stuff doesn't really wear out. It doesn't get old. But we got to remind ourselves every once in a while when life is a little bit difficult and a little bit tedious and a little bit like I can't go on another day, just remind yourself, you know what? I have an inheritance in heaven. My inheritance is in Jesus. My salvation has already been bought and paid for. I'm going to be walking on streets of gold and bowing down and worshiping before the King of Kings. And I will be considered one of his friends. I will be considered one of his special ones. And we are right now, but sometimes the issues of life, the things that go on, cloud some of that. We kind of, you know what I'm saying? We don't see it because there's so much stuff going on around us and so much noise and I call it spiritual noise because it sort of is. It's distracting stuff. It's stuff that takes our mind off of God. That's one thing I really appreciate about when we do worship here on a Sunday morning. It's like if I really give myself to it and really begin to enter into worship, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm not even thinking about any of the difficulties anymore. I'm just thinking about how awesome and great God is, you know. And sometimes I feel like when we're done with worship, it's like, okay, I'm done. I've got all that I need. Let's go home, you know. but we need his word too, amen. But this young son probably didn't understand what he had. you know, that this was an inheritance that he had coming. And it was a good thing. It wasn't to be taken early and squandered. And, of course, that's what he did. And you notice his father, it doesn't really indicate here whether his father, maybe his father said, son, I don't know, this is not a good idea. Are you sure you want this? Yeah, Dad, I want my inheritance. I want it now. Okay. You know, sometimes I think our Heavenly Father gives us what we want, even though he recognizes maybe it's not so good for you, and maybe we're going to end up having to learn a hard lesson as a result. So, and that's what this young guy did. You know, it's interesting. It says he received his inheritance, and not many days later. Can you relate to this? All of a sudden, you got a big boatload of blessing. It came. And not many days later, you're off on your own. And it doesn't take really too long for the devil to say, hey, you know what? Here's a sucker I can take. Here's someone that I can really take advantage of. In fact, you know, by the time I'm done with him, he will be broke, feeding some pigs somewhere in some foreign farmer's farm. That's, you know, the devil, he's got a mission statement too, right? I mean, Jesus came to bring us life and light and all of that. The devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. And so the devil had a plan. I think it started with this young man. Even there at the house, he's not satisfied. I want what I got coming to me. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. And so he goes out, and he's thinking, wow, this is pretty cool. I'm having a blast. I'm having a good time. And I'm sure by this time, you know, he's got a lot of money. He's partying. He's having a good time. It says in loose living is what the Bible says here in my version. But this young man probably attracted some friends too. You've heard me say this before, you know, when the friends are here, or when the money's here, the friends are here. But when the money runs out, where are the friends? You know, the only friends that hang around when you're down and destitute and can't help them are the true friends. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You know, when you're in trouble, when you're in a real bad spot, Jesus doesn't say, hey, I'll be your friend if you help me out, if you do something for me. Jesus says, I will be your friend and I will help you if you just lean on me. Amen. And this young man did not, well, maybe he hadn't learned this yet. So he goes out. It says he squandered his property in loose living. Now, squandered, let me tell you something. Squandered, he wasted it. Wasted it on all sorts of crazy things, and now he's broke. And he's hungry. Not a good combination. You know, I don't know that they had any meal programs or meal sites back then. I think it was like, you better find some work or you're gonna die of starvation. And so this young man here is there, and it says, and when he had spent everything, a great famine arose. Isn't it interesting? As soon as all the provision is gone, things get harder. Yeah, I mean, isn't it like that? When we say, you know what, I'm going to do things my way and whatever, and God is just saying, you don't understand what's coming. There's a storm coming. There's some stuff that's about to happen that you're not ready for. And so great famine arose in that country, and he began to be in want. Yeah, you know, when a famine arises, and so there's not a lot of crops, I'm sure there was a problem with employment, with jobs, and all of that kind of stuff then that we could maybe relate to today. But, and so he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country. Basically joined himself. It doesn't say he filled out an application and got a job. He said, I will be your slave. That's this is the picture here of, I will be your slave. I'm hungry. And so joined himself to a citizen of that country. And that citizen, that person, sent him into his fields to feed swine. I was reading something, I think it was last night, in one of my a book that I have, but you know, nothing more demeaning for a young Jewish boy to go out and feed swine. I mean, the Jewish people were supposed to stay away from the pigs and the swine and taking care of them and herding them. And you know what? God has a way sometimes to humble us that's not so pleasant. And this young man is just going, here I am feeding pigs, you know. And he would have gladly fed on the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. I mean, he's at a low point. He's going, you know what, I'm so hungry. I would love to just have some of the stuff that these pigs are eating. You know, the pods, the carob, says in some of the versions. But it's, anyways, it was basically, you know, feed for animals. It wasn't supposed to be for a young man, but it says, but no one gave him anything. Where's all the friends? What happened to them? No one gave him anything. No, he's in a foreign land now. He's in a hard spot. He's in a difficult place. No one gave him anything. But, verse 17, but when he came to himself, he said, by the way, most of you know what that means? He came to himself, bing, the light went on. He just went, what am I doing? This is crazy. Here I am in a foreign land, broke and hungry, working for you know, another person, and even wishing that I could eat the food that the pigs are eating. What is wrong with this? What is wrong with me? That's what it means when it says he came to himself. You know what? Sometimes when I'm seeing people, the way they live and the way they act, and I'm just going, wow, they still haven't come to themselves. They're just looking for the next handout, the next bailout, the next thing that comes to help them out, to just get them through another day or two. But this young man finally came to himself. It says, how many of my father's servants, hired servants, have bread enough to eat and to spare, and I perish here with hunger? He's thinking, you know what? My father's got servants that are eating a whole lot better than I am. They're doing all right. You know, they're working for him. They're working hard. They're doing their job and whatnot. But and I'm a son. But he's no longer relying on that. because this is part of the whole thing of him coming to himself. I will arise. He decides, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I will arise and go to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. You know what? There is the beginning of the turnaround right there. And for every one of us, and for every person who is in a spot where the enemy's got them and has them bound, the turnaround starts with, I have sinned against heaven and against even those people around me who've tried to help me. This young man finally got it. This is what it means by he came to himself. He didn't just say, well, this is dumb. I should really get a better job. I should do something else. I should do something different. No, this young man finally realized what I got to do is I have to confess my sin. I have to say, I will arise and I will go to my father. This is another thing that people sometimes they just don't do. When they're in all sorts of trouble, they won't go to their heavenly father first. They go to him last. You know, there's people who they'll run to this ministry and that friend and that pastor and that aunt and that uncle, and they'll go everywhere and every place to try to get some help and try to get a fix when they really need to come to their heavenly father and say, Father, I've sinned. And I mean, maybe I'm feeling the emotion of it right now. I'm looking at this and I'm just going, here's this young man who has finally got it. And he's saying, I've sinned. I've done wrong. And he's willing to admit it. He's willing to speak it. He's willing to say it out loud to his father. I've sinned against heaven and before you. And now he says, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. You know what? He has finally humbled himself. It's no longer, don't you know who I am? I'm a son. I deserve this. I've got this coming. I've got that coming. This young man finally said, I'm no longer worthy to be called a son. Just treat me like one of your hired servants. I mean, treating me like one of your hired servants is still going to be better than what I got right now. But he has finally come to the place of humbling himself before his father. Amen. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just treat me like one of your hired servants. And then he arose. So he's got this plan. I'm going to go to my father. I'm going to confess my sin. I'm going to tell him, listen, I'm not even worthy to be a son anymore. Don't treat me like a son. It's okay. I'll just be one of the servants. But while he was yet at a distance, I love how that reads. While he was yet at a distance, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Do you realize that this father has been waiting for this moment? This father probably a lot of times was praying and saying, oh God, spare my son's life. Help him, Lord. I know he's in trouble. I know he's in a bad spot. I know he's in difficult places. He's in deep water, God. But something else that I point out a number of times, this is something God showed me years ago. This father, we see as a picture of the Heavenly Father. If this father had the wherewithal, he had servants, he had, you know, it sounds like he was doing okay. Sounds like he had the ability to go and track this son down and find him. Amen? I think he probably could have. But this father, in his wisdom, said, you know what? If I go out there and bail him out again, it'll just be a couple of weeks and he'll be right back out there doing the same stuff again. And this father, I think, it probably broke his heart to say, I won't go search him out. I'm going to let God put the screws to him. I'm going to let God turn up the heat. And not to kill him, not to destroy him, but to bring him to that place, bring him to his senses, bring him to an understanding of, I've sinned, I've done wrong. You know, and if this prodigal son had never come to that place of saying, I've sinned against heaven and against you, Father, like I said, you know, until there's a confession of the sin and admitting that we've done wrong, there really is no permanent fix. It's just another temporary Band-Aid, a little willpower, and I'll get through this, and I'll press on, and I'll get some help from somebody. But anyway, so he comes. His father sees him a long ways off. His father sees, you know what? It sounds like his father's been looking for him. I'm not sure if his father was sitting on the front porch looking down the road. Oh, I see somebody coming. That's my son. And it says he ran to him and kissed him and had compassion on him. You know what? This father didn't come to him with a finger in his face saying, you screwed up. You messed up. This father came and ran to his son and had compassion on him and kissed him. And the son here, the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Now, he's only halfway through his speech, but his father cuts him off. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And he began to make merry. This father was so overjoyed at his son's repentance that the last thing he was thinking about was ripping into him about all the things he had done wrong. And, you know, the Heavenly Father is so much like that. When we come to him in repentance, in true repentance, to say, God, I'm sorry. And let me just bring this to us here for a moment. Maybe most of you are not prodigals out feeding the pigs and starving. But all of us, every one of us, has some things in our lives that we're kind of doing our own way. And maybe they're small things, maybe they're big things, but we got to come to this same place where we can say, Father, I recognize that I'm sinning in these things, that I'm doing wrong, that I've not followed your ways. I've not done things that would please you. I've done things that would please myself. And the same response, this is the same response that we would get from our Heavenly Father when we come to him and say, I've sinned, I've done wrong, I'm sorry. Lord, I know I don't deserve any special blessings or special favors from you. I just want to be able to live this life for you and eventually go to heaven, and I don't need the best place in heaven, I don't need the biggest mansion, I just want to be there with you. Amen. This son recognized, he experienced something here that every person who's ever said to Jesus, I'm sorry, sincerely, and received the forgiveness of God, they've received this kind of unconditional compassion and love. Amen. I'm going to conclude with just a short thing here from Psalm 84. Because, you know, this morning I was praying, and I'm just going, how does Psalm 84 fit with the prodigal son? I don't get this. But the Lord showed it to me. You've got a son here who, he was in a good spot, but he didn't recognize how good it was. He didn't recognize what he had, and he left it all for his own pleasure and his own stuff, but... there's a psalm, some parts of Psalm 84, and I suppose I could read the whole thing. Well, I'll go ahead and read the whole thing. I want to highlight the last part of it here. It's not that long. Psalm 84, how lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yea, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at thy altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in thy house, ever singing thy praise. Blessed are the men whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. I'm thinking about this dwelling place, and I'm thinking about where the prodigal was heading back to, the dwelling place of his father, thinking, well, I'm just going to be one of the hired servants if he'll take me back. And yet, you know, Psalm 84 says even the sparrow finds a home, the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. You know, there is a home in God. There is a home to come back to. No matter how close or how far you are away from him, there's a place to come back to. It's this place, the place where he is, the place where he dwells. Amen. He is this father that we read about in the prodigal son story. He is that father, the one who dwells in heavenly places, who dwells in all sorts of glory and light, and you know, all the good things are there. Amen. But, O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. I wonder if that prodigal son might have even known some of this. You know, these were songs that he might have sung as a young man. Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. And here's the verse I want to highlight. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Think about that prodigal son. He's coming back. He says, you know what? If all I have to be is just a doorkeeper in my dad's house, that would be enough. That's okay. Amen. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Because he's experienced the tents of wickedness. He knows what that's like, and he realizes there's nothing there. There's nothing to go back to. There's no hope there. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in thee. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man who trusts in thee. Amen. We need to look to him. We need to look to him as a heavenly Father who doesn't overlook our sin, but as I said before, sometimes allows sin to have its way and run its course, really to bring us to a place where we will open up our eyes and say, you know what, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I'm no longer worthy of all your blessings and your provisions and all that stuff. God, at this point, God, all I just want to be is a doorkeeper in your house. I don't want anything fancy, God. I don't want anything big. I just want to be a doorkeeper because I want to be there where you are. You know, that's really the picture to me in Psalm 84 is there's such a hunger and a desire and a yearning, a longing to be with God, to be in his presence, to be there with him. And I'll tell you what, when that's a desire that you'll allow to rise up inside of you, a desire to say, God, I want what you got, what you want for me and from me. I want to be pleasing in your sight. My thoughts, my words, all of it, God. You know what? When that is a desire of yours, that's going to happen. It's going to happen. You'll press in and you'll say, God, if this makes you happy, I'm in. I'm all for it. And it says there in Psalm 84, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up this morning. This morning, as I'm just kind of finishing up here, some of you may be full-blown prodigals. Some of you may be just, you've wandered, you've strayed, you begin to trust other things. But this morning, I just want to say to you, you know, God will take you back just like that.
Yes, he will.
He will. He has compassion. His mercies are new every morning. He's willing to show kindness and compassion, and not just to bless you, not just to help you, but to have a connection with him. Amen? So if you're here this morning, you just need to really get some things right between you and God, then you just go ahead and do it. Talk to him. And I'll be up here if you want me to pray for you. I want to do that. Amen. Because we got a Heavenly Father who is arms open wide, waiting. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you this morning.